You're in Siberia, but on this summer day, you don't need a coat. These are the Altai Mountains, close to where present-day Russia forms a corner with Kazakhstan, Mongolia, and China. Today, lush river valleys cut between rocky ridges dotted with spruce trees. 60,000 years ago, the landscape looked similar. Earth was enjoying a relatively warm period between the two ice ages of the Pleistocene epoch. Chipmunks dart under the shrubs as a brown bear ambles along the stream. Above you, a few horned ibex peer down from crags in a limestone cliff. Eventually, you spot some folks who look like you. Well, more like you than the other forest creatures. Not sure whether they'll perceive you as friend or foe, you crouch behind some ferns and watch from afar. It seems like these humans are having a picnic, sprawled on animal furs just downhill from a cave. Then you realize they're at work, crafting stone tools. A few adults gracefully hammer one rock against another, knocking off finger-length, knife-like pieces. They examine each blade in a flash, either setting it on a pile of keepers or tossing it into the grass. Snuggled between these toolmakers, a small child imitates their strokes. The kid bonks two rocks together, but no pieces break free. Now it's just play, but in a few years they will begin to master the craft. A girl, maybe 10 years old, approaches the group. They seem to be expecting her. She's hugging a bundle of dry branches. Sweaty hair sticks to her cheeks. She dumps the branches and sits down on an animal skin. You're not sure what to make of these people. They're definitely human and doing sophisticated things, crafting stone tools for future tasks, gathering kindling for fire, playing and learning. But they're not Homo sapiens like you. They also look different from Neanderthals you've seen. Suddenly, the group begins to gather their things. They roll the stone tools into a hide. Someone scoops up the toddler. The 10-year-old grabs the branches she just set down. They all scurry into the cave, which features a spacious entrance, about the length of a school bus. The sky has darkened. Gusty wind rattles birch trees by the river. The group must be taking shelter from a coming storm. You debate whether to risk the storm or the strangers. Thunder rumbles and you hurry away, hoping to find another cave, an empty one farther along the valley. Maybe they would have welcomed you, shared their shelter and snacks. Or maybe not. The moment's passed now, so you'll never know. In any case, that girl didn't live much longer. We don't know how, but she died before her prime, and a bit of her skeleton, a pinky bone, wound up in that very same cave. 60,000 years later, both the site and that girl would become famous. They would force us to rethink how many kinds of humans inhabited Eurasia during the late Pleistocene. Discovered in a cave called Denisova, the girl's fingertip was the first evidence for her kind, the Denisovans, a mysterious branch of the human family tree. Hello and welcome to Eons Mysteries of Deep Time, a podcast about some of the most perplexing problems and unanswered questions about life in the ancient past. I am Blake DePastino, co-host of PBS Eons, a YouTube channel about the history of life on Earth. And today, we're searching for the elusive Denisovans, a human relative discovered just over a decade ago, thanks to that fossil pinky and the DNA it contained. From its genome, scientists immediately learned two incredible things. First, that the Denisovans existed. Another kind of human that no one imagined, that no one expected to find, lived as recently as 50,000 years ago. Second, the genetics showed where Denisovans fit in our evolutionary history. About 600,000 years ago, a population of human ancestors, probably living in Africa, split ways. Those that stayed in Africa ultimately evolved into our species, Homo sapiens, or modern humans. Those that headed north to Eurasia split again around 400,000 years ago, into one lineage leading to Neanderthals and another leading to Denisovans. Neanderthals and Denisovans are like sister species to each other, and both these human types are like evolutionary cousins to our own kind, Homo sapiens. These genetic relations suggest that Denisovans were around as long as the Neanderthals. Yet anthropologists have gathered way more evidence for Neanderthals. Since that species was scientifically recognized in 1864, scientists have found bones from nearly 400 Neanderthal individuals and millions of their artifacts at sites across Europe, the Middle East, and Central Asia. Meanwhile, it took until 2010 for scientists to even realize that Denisovans existed. And by early 2019, nearly a decade later, the official count of Denisovan fossils had only reached 4. That partial pinky and 3 additional teeth, all from Denisova Cave. So why hadn't we found more Denisovan fossils and sites? It's not for a lack of trying. Teams have sorted through thousands of bones from Denisova Cave. They've also searched the surrounding landscape, as well as sites located hundreds to thousands of kilometers away. Surely a human population that survived for nearly 300,000 years roamed beyond the confines of a single cave in Siberia. And this group must have left more than a finger and 3 teeth. Shouldn't we be finding more Denisovan remains? Considering their contemporaries, the Neanderthals, left thousands of fossil bits representing hundreds of individuals? Where were the Denisovans hiding? Tucked between limestone ridges overlooking a river, Denisova provided shelter to many creatures over the past 300,000 years. Massive cave bears slumbered there. Hyena chowed on zocor, plump rodents resembling mole rats. Human foragers may have camped there for a season or just taken cover during a passing storm. Archaeologists and paleontologists started digging the site in the 1980s. In the decades since, they've unearthed hundreds of thousands of fossils and artifacts. The lowest layers contain broad, flat stone tools, which are typical for an archaeological period known as the Middle Paleolithic. Higher layers hold so-called Upper Paleolithic artifacts, thinner, more aerodynamic stone tools, along with bone points and beads made from animal teeth. Based on who made these artifacts at other sites, archaeologists guessed that at Denisova, Neanderthals crafted the Middle Paleolithic finds, and later Homo sapiens were responsible for the upper stuff. Then, in 2008, excavators spotted the pinky nub that would change everything. They knew it belonged to someone who died as a kid because the bone wasn't done growing. But the scientists couldn't say more about that individual from the bone's physical appearance alone. They sent the specimen off for DNA analysis, hoping to figure out whether it belonged to a Neanderthal or a modern human. And the answer was neither. In a 2010 paper, it was announced that the individual belonged to a third human lineage, quickly dubbed the Denisovans, who shared Earth with Neanderthals and Homo sapiens during the late Pleistocene. The genetics work also revealed that Denisovans mated with both Neanderthals and modern humans. Some people living today have genomes with as much as 5% Denisovan DNA. Their ancestors made babies with Denisovans tens of thousands of years ago. That DNA-packed pinky brought Denisovans from the darkness of the cave into the limelight and set researchers on a hunt for more. Anthropologists re-examined mounds of fossils previously excavated from Denisova, a collection with more than 200,000 bone pieces, many crushed, eroded, or chomped beyond recognition. To determine whether any of these skeletal splinters came from, say, a human or a bear, the scientists used a technique called zooarchaeology by mass spectrometry, or ZOOMS. The quick analysis matches a bone's collagen protein to a broad animal type, like human or bear. Then, DNA analysis can narrow it down further, distinguishing between Denisovans, Neanderthals, and modern humans. Within Denisova, the researchers also used newly developed methods to search the dirt for loose DNA, pieces of genetic material that past creatures had shed from things like hair, skin, and saliva. And they kept excavating, hoping to recover more hominin fossils the old-fashioned way. If there were more Denisovans hiding in that cave, the team was going to find them. And the researchers did identify more fossils and genomes, but not as many as they hoped. Two papers published in 2019 laid out their results. Denisova Cave, by then, yielded 4 Denisovan fossils, or actually 4.5. We'll get to that half in a bit. In addition to the pinky, they discovered a baby tooth and 2 adult molars. DNA showed that these 4 fossils each belonged to a different individual. A couple of them visited Denisova over 100,000 years ago, and the other pair came some 50,000 years later. The most striking feature of these fossils is that the adult molars are big, larger than the teeth of most modern humans or Neanderthals, and closer in size to much earlier hominins like Homo erectus or the Australopithecines who lived over 1 million years ago. The Denisovan molars also have hefty roots and are cuspy, which means that the chewing surface is rugged, more like five mountain peaks than a smooth plateau. But aside from having big teeth, we can't really say much about the specifics of the Denisovan's appearance. And because these fossils are so meager, Denisovans still haven't been given a formal species name, like Homo neanderthalensis or Homo sapiens. In the cave, researchers also found Neanderthal fossils. And one bone fragment the length of a matchstick, identified as human by Zooms, turned out to be from the offspring of a Neanderthal mother and Denisovan father. The teenage girl, nicknamed Denny, lived 100,000 years ago, and she's the half-Denisovan fossil I mentioned before. And the DNA fished from the sediment showed that distinct populations of Denisovans, Neanderthals, and modern humans all used the cave. Denisovans arrived by at least 195,000 years ago. Neanderthals, as well as the Denny hybrid, entered between 140,000 and 80,000 years ago. And both these early inhabitants likely left Middle Paleolithic tools. Denisovans returned after 76,000 years ago. Some researchers think these later Denisovans made the sophisticated Upper Paleolithic bone tools and beads, which first appeared around 49,000 years ago in the cave. DNA from modern humans doesn't appear until later, in layers dated between 44,000 and 21,000 years ago. Now, we know when Denisovans lived in and around Denisova Cave, and the types of artifacts they might have made, but we still don't know about their looks, except for those chunky molars. If they came and went from the cave, they must have gone somewhere else. But where? Well, the obvious place to look is close by, at other sites in the Altai Mountains. Over the years, archaeologists have excavated 8 cave and 10 open-air sites in the region, which contain middle or upper Paleolithic artifacts. A couple of these places, less than 100 kilometers from Denisova, also had Neanderthal fossils, bearing Neanderthal DNA. But so far, no other sites in the Siberian Altai have harbored Denisovan fossils or DNA, besides their namesake cave. As our close evolutionary cousins, Denisovans would probably have traversed vast territories, searching for food and other necessities. They must have left some traces outside of Denisova Cave. But the fact that we haven't found any other fossils in Siberia raises a new possibility. Maybe this region was not the Denisovan heartland, but actually the outskirts of their territory. Perhaps the first Denisovans we found were living on the fringes. If this is the case, then where do we look? What breadcrumbs can we follow? It turns out Denisovan DNA holds the clues for where we might find more of their kind. When researchers search the genomes of living people for Denisovan DNA, they find it concentrated in certain populations. People indigenous to oceanic islands like Papua New Guinea and Australia have about 5% Denisovan DNA. Some groups native to mainland Southeast Asia also have a little, about 0.5%. Inhabitants of the rest of the globe show none, including those living closest to Denisova. Now, the ancestors of present-day people with Denisovan DNA may have passed through Siberia, mated with Denisovans, and carried on to Southeast Asia and Oceania. Or another scenario could explain the data. Denisovans could have been widespread across Asia. Another geographic clue comes not from the whole genome, but one particular gene called EPAS1. It codes for a protein that tells the body to make red blood cells, which carry oxygen. Because most people use more oxygen when they're high above sea level, EPAS1 helps folks cope with altitude sickness. For years, researchers knew that Tibetans possess a special version of this gene, which allows a population to live kilometers above sea level without health problems. It's a genetic adaptation to the high life. But more recently, scientists learned that Tibetan ancestors didn't acquire this variant through a lucky mutation. They got it from mating with Denisovans tens of thousands of years ago. The altitude-adapted EPAS1 variant matches the Denisovan version. Together, the genetic clues tell us where to search for more Denisovans, thousands of kilometers southeast of Siberia, and perhaps way high up in the mountains. And that's just where the first Denisovan fossil found outside of Denisova Cave surfaced. On the Tibetan Plateau of central China, nearly 2,300 kilometers southeast of the Altai, over 3 kilometers above sea level. It's half of a lower jawbone with big cuspy molars that was described in 2019. This mandible was actually hiding in plain sight. It was in the geology department of Lanzhou University. The school received the specimen in the 1980s after a Buddhist monk happened upon it while he was meditating in a cave. But now Lanzhou scientists are thinking about the fossil in a different light, as a possible Denisovan. By dating calcite crust accumulated on the bone, they can say it's at least 160,000 years old, within the time range of the Denisovans. Unfortunately, the fossil doesn't have any surviving DNA, but proteins in the teeth have a unique makeup that matches our known Denisovans. The team also returned to the cave where the fossil was found in the 1980s, and their new excavations have uncovered artifacts, animal bones, and, drumroll please, DNA in the sediment that is undeniably Denisovan. The DNA came from layers dated to 60,000 and 100,000 years ago, while the fossil is probably older than 160,000 years. So it seems Denisovans hung out on the Tibetan Plateau for quite some time. This site, known as Baishia Karst Cave in Xiahe, China, has given us the first evidence for Denisovans beyond Denisova Cave. Assuming the mandible is also Denisovan, and there's no reason to think that it's not, that makes it the largest Denisovan fossil to date. Our mysterious cousins now have a jaw. But probably what's most exciting here is the fact that the fossil was discovered long ago before we knew about Denisovans. Other Denisovan fossils could be sitting in museum and university collections, cast off as wonky-looking bones, ready to be rediscovered. Or those collections could hold fossils of entirely different human lineages, not yet known to science. If Denisovans stayed under the radar for so long, how many other kinds of humans lived during the late Pleistocene, along with Neanderthals and modern humans? Now, the Denisovan jawbone was just where the genetic clues led us, high mountains southeast of Siberia. But is that the only other place that Denisovans ventured? Here's another twist. In May of 2022, researchers reported another probable Denisovan fossil from a third site. Not at high altitude like the Tibetan mandible, and not at high latitude like the residents of Denisova Cave. This fossil came from the balmy forests of present-day Laos. Finally, we're finding Denisovans in Southeast Asia, close to where present-day people with the most Denisovan DNA live. The tooth popped out of a cemented rock packed with rubble and animal teeth at a site whose name translates to Cobra Cave. The researchers immediately recognized it as human. Measurements of its exterior and CT scans of its interior show the tooth shares distinctive traits with the Tibetan mandible. Our new molar, which is indeed big and cuspy, seems to be Denisovan. Now, this designation isn't 100%. The team is currently trying to extract DNA, but we have to wait for those results. And don't hold your breath. Ancient DNA rarely survives in the tropics. But this tooth sure looks like a Denisovan, on the outside and inside. And before ancient DNA methods were developed, all fossils were assigned to groups based on their physical appearance. And we could say a bit more about the owner of this tooth. Some surviving proteins suggest it belonged to a female. Wear and growth patterns indicate she was between 3 and 9 years old. Based on chemical dating and other teeth found at the site, she lived between 130,000 and 164,000 years ago, alongside elephants, rhinos, and other tropical forest creatures. So it looks like Denisovans may still turn up in unexpected places. Some could even be hiding in plain sight, found long before we knew to start looking for them. They lived at high latitudes in Siberia, extreme elevations on the Tibetan Plateau, and probably in the tropical forests of Southeast Asia, through ice ages and temperate times. Clearly, Denisovans roamed far and wide, and were savvy enough to adapt to different challenges. And they may have crafted sophisticated artifacts, which scientists once thought only modern humans could make. How they looked and behaved remains a mystery, which will require more fossils, artifacts, and sites to solve. But we can say they were our big-toothed cousins, and some of their DNA lives on today, allowing people to thrive at the top of the world. This episode was written by Bridget Alex, hosted by me, Blake DePastino, and fact-checked by Callie Moore. Our sound design, mix, and editing was by Callie Dishman. The show is produced by Seth Radley, Our executive producer is Nicole Sweeney, and our editorial director is Dr. Darcy Shapiro. The executive in charge for PBS is Maribel Lopez, and Gabby Ewing is PBS's director of programming. Eon's Mysteries of Deep Time is a production of Complexly for PBS Digital Studios, and we are distributed by PRX. Tune in next time, where we'll try to answer the question, what happened to the Neanderthals? Until then, you can always visit us over at youtube.com/eons for more stories from Deep Time.